Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Hello and welcome to The Secret Vibe Show, the show where you get to turn your vibe on. I'm your host, Valerie A. Campbell, reminding you that VIBE is an acronym for vision, intention, belief, and expectation. And in line with that acronym, I want to talk today on a subject that will be a mind shifter for a lot of people out there, for a lot of people that is listening. It's my intention to increase your consciousness and give you that paradigm shift to enable you to look at the world in a way that will elevate you, increase you, as opposed to decreasing you. So today's show is entitled Don't Believe Your Beliefs. So where shall I begin? So in May this year, 2019, I visited Thailand for the third time. I love Thailand because I find it a very spiritual country. It's very, it's a place where I can be still, get away from the noise, and really reconnect with myself. And while I was there, I went on an excursion, and the excursion involved going on the terrain and, you know, looking at the paddy fields and some of the animals. And one of the animals was an elephant. And I came across this elephant, beautiful elephant. It was tied up and some of them were kept in a pen. And I thought, wow, they're so strong, yet so docile. How is it that these powerful creatures do not rebel against their owners and use their power to kind of break out of the pen and be free? And the guide explained to us that the elephants were trained from young, I would say conditioned from young, to be still. When they were younger, they were punished. When I say punished, you know, I mean, you know, some pain inflicted on them so that they wouldn't go beyond the certain perimeter that was around them. And so they were conditioned in that particular way. Now, it reminded me of a story of some flies that were placed in a jar, and the cover was placed in the jar, and every time the fly would fly up, it would hit its head on the jar. And so eventually the flies were trained. I know they weren't exactly flies. I can't remember the exact insect, but let me just use flies as an example. But every time they would hit their head on the cover, they were basically taught or conditioned not to fly any higher than the cover, or else they would experience pain. And even when the cover was removed, the flies would literally not fly beyond the cover, the level of the cover. And what was more interesting was that they found that when these insects had other insects, those insects would not fly above the level of the cover either. And they were curious as to why that was. And it was because every time they would try to fly out of the jar, the parent would pull them down. They would pull them down because the parent didn't want the fly, their offspring, to get hurt. And so those flies or insects were conditioned to stay within the realm of where they were, even though they had a greater potential to actually completely just fly away. So I'm looking at these elephants and I'm remembering this experiment. I'm remembering this story about the fly. And I'm likening the story to us as individuals, where this is happening all around the world, as children were conditioned far below our full potentiality to keep us diminished, and with good intention, because our parents felt that they were doing a great thing. For some parents had very good intentions, and for others, I guess, you know, I would say those that abused their children, it was done with intention because that's what they knew, right? So how many of us are tied or kept into this world, into a world, into a false reality where we believe that we are not capable of doing so much more? Because you have to remember that your beliefs create your reality. You see, if you have a belief that you cannot break free, it's that very belief that holds you back. And I was able to see that in the case of the elephants. There's elephants that were now big, big elephants, but yet with that same mindset. And the same for the flies and the insects in the jar and their offspring. So you can see how this mentality, this mindset, is psychologically passed down. So how many of us carry old beliefs that no longer serve us, that do not propel us into our full potentiality? I myself have had these beliefs and I'm still working on it. I am by no means the finished article, but when I compare myself with who I was then to who I am now, I have jumped, catapulted, leaps and bounds, and grown so much. And you may have too. But you may also be that person that has beliefs that are holding you back, that leave you with this sense of unfulfillment. And this can show up in work, the types of jobs that you attract. This can also show up in relationships, the type of persons that you're attracting. When you become aware of the beliefs that are actually holding you back, then you have the choice to change them so that you can lead and create a different reality. So that's why this show is entitled Don't Believe Everything That You Believe. For those that know my story, I had a traumatic childhood. There were loving aspects to it, but overall the experience was traumatic. I grew up in a family where my father yelled. He had this very foreboding presence, very strong, loud voice, and you know, he was very much the man of the house. Do as I say and not as I do. That was my dad. And so I remember when he used to return home from Buckingham Palace. That's where he worked. And in those days, he had come over from the Caribbean. You know, it was the days of the Windrush where, you know, England needed to be built up. And he experienced a lot of racism. And those days, they had tags on the wall: no dogs, no Irish, no blacks. And he experienced a lot of racism, and he would bring a lot of that home. And so he carried that heavy, depressing energy. And I guess maybe in his way of wanting to feel like more like a man, he exerted his power where he felt he could, and that was in the home. He exerted his dominion where perhaps he felt he could, in the home, because perhaps outside he felt helpless. And so when my dad would come home, I would literally, and my brothers and sisters, my siblings, I would literally become a mouse. And so to keep the peace, I learned to keep quiet. I learned being the operative word, to stay quiet. I was taught to melt, literally, I would say, into the walls if I could, whenever he came home. I became invisible. I learned not to rock the boat, to just keep quiet. And in school, I was very much the same. You know, I didn't stand out. I was shy. I blended in because it was what I was taught. And what about my relationships? They were no better. Remember, I had been taught to be quiet. So I wouldn't voice my opinion in a relationship. In fact, I remember the first guy that I really got involved with reminded me so much of my father, because I believed that that was the type of man that I should have in my life. Because remember, your father sets the standards. He is the first man in a daughter's life. He sets the standards. And so, in the pain of experiencing heartbreak, that then taught me to hold back in my relationships. That was my belief. I need to hold back in relationships so that I can avoid getting hurt. And so I didn't feel like I was enough growing up. I had feelings of inadequacy. And to my mind, looking back at myself, it was almost as if to be light, as God created us, was not a good thing. It wasn't a good thing to shine your light. I would be punished for it. If I spoke up, I believed that I would get beats, okay? Lits, whip, whatever word you want to use to describe it. I didn't feel that I could voice my opinion. Who am I? Who am I to voice my opinion? I was taught to lean, to melt into the wall, to be invisible. I remember my brother, I remember a case with my brother, and we had this floor. We lived in a 6-bedroom house, and there was a floor where the TV would be, and we would all watch TV there. Mum and Dad were downstairs, and they'd move the TV upstairs. That we were being punished for something. And my dad, listening out, thought, oh, the children are a little bit quiet. And it was because I had moved the TV back. And my dad at that time was so adamant that it was my two brothers that had moved the TV, that he beat us one by one. But he more or less let me go after a couple of beats with the belt, because in his mind, his belief was that it was my brothers. And I remember my brother, let's call him Jay for now, got beaten literally for voicing his truth, that he didn't move the TV. So I'm thinking about my brother Jason right now. And that's why we called him Jay. And I'm thinking that he got beaten for voicing his truth and not buying into my dad's opinion. You see, after a while, throughout the beating, my brother gave up and said, yes, okay, it was me, it was me. And into his mind, he was rewarded for lying because the beating stopped. He was taught that to tell the truth, my dad's truth, equals pain. Better to lie. That was what was actually anchored into him as a child. He was trained to not value his truth. He was trained that he is not a star. And so when I look at my brother's life today, I can see a dull version of my brother. I can see somebody who is not walking in their full potentiality. I am seeing a person who doesn't truly shine. He is not self-sufficient. He still depends a lot on my mum. Because why? Because he doesn't trust himself. He doesn't trust his voice. He believes that he is not enough. We were called whatless growing up, which means worthless. It's the Caribbean way of saying worthless. Imagine a child being told you are worthless over and over again. We were not told words of love and affirmation. So you see, I share that story with you to tell you this. Everyone under the hearing of my voice has their story. They have their story. So who are we to judge? But it was God's intention for us to all shine, as children do, before they were conditioned to subdue their light. So what was your story? What was the story of the person that you're not forgiving? What is the story of the person that hurt you? Don't believe what you believe. So I was taught that it's wrong to stand out. I would get beats for failing to keep up the norm of keeping my light diminished. And this isn't just my story. We all have come to believe certain things in childhood that were not true of our true nature, of who God says that we are. Yet, we are still walking in that false reality as if it were true right now. And when I look at that elephant in Thailand, that is exactly what that elephant is doing. It's walking in that false reality that it's not more than what is presenting itself now, how it's showing up right now. So if you've ever felt that you're not good enough, know that it is a lie, okay? You were made to be visible. So if you're feeling invisible, you need to choose to be visible. If you felt powerless, then choose to be powerful. If you felt unloved, know that God loves you and love yourself. If you felt unwanted, hey, want yourself. You see, how you perceive yourself is everything. For me, my journey has been very much about becoming visible, It's about standing up for myself, knowing that my voice means something, that is valid, standing out. And I do many of those things now. That's why I say I'm the person I am today. It's unrecognizable when compared with who I was of those yesterdays. You can reset yourself. It all starts with accepting who you are and shining your light in that very dark place within yourself, on that part of yourself that you made invisible because it served a purpose at that time, but now is no longer serving a purpose. I didn't trust my own voice. I found myself leaning into other people's opinions, as if their opinion had more validity than my own, when I should have been trusting my own voice, staying like a mouse when it would have benefited me to speak up, blending in so as to not disturb the peace, not trusting, doubting that validity of my voice, the voice that God gave me, the very voice that was given to me by my Creator, when I would have been much happier as that unconditioned child. So these beliefs that I had led me into a series of jobs that answered my prayer. What was I searching for? My jobs were tolerable, but what was my soul seeking? My physical body needed money. I needed money to pay bills, but my soul wanted expression. It didn't want to be wrapped in the dark. Each job was my soul crying for expression, an opportunity to shine its light, even if it was just that little bit more, moving me, manipulating me, guiding me to a place, slowly but surely, bit by bit, over time, where I could fully express on the road to fully personifying pure potentiality. And I'm not yet the finished article, but I'm on my way. My soul has been leading me to fully recognize myself. And I've done some work on the way, and I've had to forgive certain parts of myself. I've had to let go of that child, that conditioned child. And I am sure it is the same for you. And so what else did my soul do? It led me into a series of relationships. It wasn't just my work. I lacked confidence in myself, my voice, the other person, the actual entity of the relationship itself. They never worked out, because the beliefs that I had affected the world that I saw. The beliefs that I had kept my actions perfectly in line with that. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy. I felt small, and so the universe would give me evidence of that, being the non-judgmental entity that it is. Remember, how you feel is dependent on the beliefs that you have about yourself. So what we believe has powerful effects. It literally creates our reality. And it's true for us, but it is not the truth of who we truly are. It feels true for us, but it is not the truth of who we truly are. And that's why I look to God to tell me who I am. Wonderfully made, deserving, pure potential. And how we see the world does create our reality. You know, when I was younger, I had really bad acne. I was very self-conscious and believed everybody's eyes were centered on my skin. And I would observe my conversations with people. They were awkward because, to my mind, I witnessed people avoiding eye contact and looking at my skin. And I imagine them saying, oh, how ugly. I can't even look at her. However, I'm now in a place where I now understand that it was my beliefs about my own skin that led me to see things that way that weren't really there. And to make meaning of their behavior. So you see, what could have been a great conversation was made awkward because of the relationship, the beliefs that I had with myself. My beliefs had created my reality. So what changed? At some point along my journey, I made a decision to accept myself, acne and all. And you know what? My reality changed. I observed people began to see me as I saw myself. In me no longer being self-conscious about my spots, they simply disappeared from my reality. And to this day, I wouldn't say I have absolutely perfect skin, but my condition has definitely improved. And a few years later, I met an old friend who at school used to pick on me, secondary school. And her words were, the ugly duckling has now turned into a swan. But what really changed? My perception of myself. And other studies have shown the same effect. You know, when we think of conditions like of body dysmorphia. Body dysmorphia is a mental health condition where a person spends a lot of time worrying about their flaws in their appearance. And these flaws are often unnoticeable to others. The signs of the body dysmorphia, and I'm just reading from a text here, are repetitively looking in the mirror or avoiding mirrors. Oh my gosh, that was me. Definitely avoided mirrors. Excessive time spent on grooming, an overwhelming feeling the flaw perceived makes them ugly or deformed, believing that the perceived flaw will lead to negative judgment or mocking from others. There are many beautiful people, even models, that share this fate. And this condition actually leads to some of the most physically insecure people on the planet. Why? Because false beliefs had led to a false reality. Let's look at beliefs in this context. I once heard a story of two boys that were separated at a young age due to having alcoholic and abusive parents. Now, later as an adult, they were both revisited. Now, the interviewer asked, as he looked at the young man's circumstances, one of the young man's circumstances, he was drunk and unkempt, and he didn't really have that much to show for. The interviewer asked him,
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.